this month, we've been celebrating the victory of this nation and all of the things that she's accomplished, especially from our first president. It set the tone for me. It, you'll be our God, and we'll be your people. Well, and when that happened, of course, the devil just... The 13 colonies. He designed the flag, the red, white, and the blue. And Betsy Ross sewed it up. And I don't really know, when you see someone that won't stand up for the national anthem, you don't know what that means. You have no idea what that means. You're just doing something that you personally don't like, which that's your business. I'm not your judge. But this thing started off with a fight. And that flag with 13 stars on a field of blue was the Star-Spangled Banner. It began as a poem. Starts off with a question, oh, say, can you see? But you continue to sing, and you find that the answer to the question, will it still wave? Mm-hmm. And it's still waving, praise Amen. God, and it's still being
Amen.
Born.
Amen. Our best days are ahead.
Yes, they are.
I believe that.
Yes, they are. Hallelujah. The Daily BBOV broadcast means as much to me as our other major ministry outreaches, such as the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, Brother Copeland's monthly partner letter. It blesses me to watch the broadcast and hear what the Lord is saying through Brother Copeland. After waiting many years to see the daily television brought here in the UK and Europe, it finally launched in October 1995 as one of the very first pioneer programs on Christian Channel Europe, now God TV. Oh, I remember that. And then there were some people said, you mean Christians? What? They're Christians will never watch television all day. Famous last word. This was something I stood in faith for with my family and work colleagues for many years. People said it would never happen, but with God, all things are possible. It's a privilege to play even a small part in the European vision of the broadcast, helping to get the word out through this vital ministry to Tim from England.
Amen.
Praise. Listen, all of these are so precious.
Yeah.
So send me your story. Praise God.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, Brother Andrew.
Well, this week, well, actually, for 2 weeks, we've been talking about what I call spirit, soul, and body, when I realized it was my spirit that got changed, not my body and not my soul. Now, they've been purchased, and someday I'm going to get a new body, and someday I'll get my soul to where it knows all things, but those aren't complete. But in my spirit, my salvation is over.
Let me tell you one of the things that I've had a hard time wrapping my head around. I believe it because it's in the book. Jesus said, handle me. A spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see me have. The glorified body. No blood. His blood is on the heavenly mercy seat. Amen. All of it. And he sat down and he ate something. Now, the only thing the blood does is provide life to this body. And the glorified body doesn't need any blood. The glory of God is flowing through your veins. That's coming.
Wow. I hadn't seen that. That's awesome.
That's coming.
That's awesome.
Spirit, soul, and body. It doesn't say a thing in the world about the blood in the body. But that's that and a being that's always been.
Have you ever thought of this, that in heaven we're going to get new bodies, there'll be glorified bodies, but Jesus' glorified body still has the print of the nails?
Yes.
He'll be the only one in heaven that has scars. It'll be a constant reminder of what he's done
for us. And they're in his hands, not his wrists.
Yep, I believe that.
God knows how to spell.
Yep.
That Roman nail had a head on it about like that, that would cover this whole part, which made it so excruciating. And when you did this and you're hanging by that, and then you can't breathe. But never where he said, Thomas, put your hand in my hand in my side. Praise God.
And Kenneth, one of the biggest benefits of me understanding this is that John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Lord showed me that God is looking at me spirit to spirit. Now, he's aware of my body. He's aware of my thoughts. But he relates to me based on who I am in the spirit, not based on my actions and not based on my thoughts.
That's right.
And that's what really allowed me to understand how God could love me. Because there's things that I do that I don't love. There's things that I think that I know that aren't right. And I'm disappointed with it. And so I'm disappointed with my actions and my thoughts. And how could God love me unconditionally? It's because he doesn't deal with us based on that. He deals with us based on who we are in the Spirit. And here's an example. You'll love that. I'm sure you've probably seen this, but in Isaiah chapter 53, where it's talking about Jesus being our sacrifice, and by his stripes we're healed. If you go on down, it says in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Yes.
He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and
yes.
shall be satisfied. And what the Lord gave me through this, God looks at what Jesus suffered, not what we have to suffer. It's like when they brought a lamb to be sacrificed, the priest would examine the lamb. They wouldn't examine the person bringing the lamb. The very fact that you brought a lamb showed that you had sinned, and so you were guilty. But they didn't look at you. They didn't ask you what you did. They looked at the lamb to see if the lamb was pure.
That's right.
And so God doesn't look at us and what we've done and whether we're doing everything right or not, but he looks at the lamb and he accepts us based on what the lamb has done, not what we've done. And man, that just turned me around, because again, I was trying to earn God's favor by, was I praying enough? Was I studying enough? Was I confessing the word enough? And things like that. But God's not looking on my actions. He's looking on my born again spirit.
That's
and
right.
he accepts me based on that.
Yes.
That just changed everything around.
It changes everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Because even when I mess up, my spirit doesn't get messed up. I'm sealed. You know, it says Ephesians 1:13
yes.
that you're sealed, vacuum packed. And
yes.
so when you sin, that sin gains an entrance into your physical body. It could bring physical sickness or poverty. It brings opportunity to your soul to have depression, discouragement, fear. But that sin doesn't penetrate the seal around your spirit. Your spirit is as pure and holy as it was the very moment that you got born again.
Yeah.
Or any time in the future in heaven.
In the very beginning, when the Lord directed me in marrying people, that for a profession of faith, first thing, and from Ephesians 5 and so forth. Do you believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of the living God?
Yes,
I do. Have you accepted him in your spirit and his spirit by the Spirit of God? Yes, I have. Yes, I do. Yes, I have. Then now you are as clean in the eyes of God because of the blood of the Lamb as Adam and Eve were in the garden.
Amen. Amen.
And at that moment, you're literally sin-free before God. There's just more to that. It I don't do a little quick, I do, yes, I do, he, good day. It takes a while.
Yes.
We do communion.
Amen.
For the first time as a family. And read the blessing of Abraham. All of that. Covenant promises. And we use the word covenant in there. For these reasons. That it changes everything. And here it's the blood. Behold the Lamb of God.
And Brother Copeland, another thing I heard you say, this has been 40 years ago. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, when it's talking about all of the pieces of the tabernacle, you know, mm-hmm. And it talks about all of these things. And then it says, and over the mercy seat was the cherubims of mercy, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Mm-hmm. And the reason you can't speak of those cherubs is because they were there to protect people who were sinful from coming into the presence of a holy God. Mm-hmm. And if you walked in there, they'd strike you dead.
Yep.
But now we can't talk about that because the way into the Holy of Holies has now been made free and we can come in. And I heard you say this 40 years ago, if an angel tried to stop you from entering into the presence of God, you could rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Because you have been made righteous. And when I begin to understand these things, see that even when I mess up in my body or my thoughts, I'm still the righteousness of God in my spirit. Nothing has changed in the spirit realm. Now, I've given Satan an inroad into my flesh, so I need to repent of it if I've done something wrong and get my mind renewed. But my spirit doesn't lose any of its righteousness, any of its relationship with God. And that has given me a stability in my life that has kept me from going up and down. I used to be up and down because I would feel the presence of the Lord. I had done something good and I thought, boy, He loves me now. He's pleased with me now. But it wasn't too long until I'd mess up. And then I'd go to feeling like, God, how could you ever use me? But now it's given me a stability because in the Spirit, I don't fluctuate. I am His workmanship created in Christ Jesus and my spirit never changes. My spirit is pure and holy. That has changed my life.
When you put together the writings of the great apostle, it's a spiritual puzzle because he made certain statements at some places. I fought beasts at Ephesus. Well, if he did that, he did. And this is the reason he said, what I had to do for this. But touch me not. I have not yet ascended. Now remember, the Apostle Paul said, one in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. I was in paradise and saw things unlawful for me to utter. So, what you see in the book of Hebrews is what he saw. He saw the 11th chapter while he was in that place. He saw it. And you glean these things from that part, and then you see him writing these things as he witnessed it. Because he had to be highly educated to do what he did. And the Lord said, I have shown him what he must suffer for my name's sake. So he proved that this new covenant works.
Amen.
Right on down to teaching Timothy what to eat and what not to eat.
And he goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 9, let me just read this. This is really awesome. Hebrews chapter 9 is making a contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant. And it says in verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once
into the holy place.
But the emphasis is on once. Did you know in the ninth chapter, there are four times it's contrast in the old covenant where every time you messed up, you had to bring a sacrifice. Yeah. And every time you messed up, you lost your position with God and you had to make a new sacrifice to get back in. But here, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Not just redemption till the next time we sin.
Don't you lie.
But eternal redemption. And then in verse 15, it says, "And for this cause he's the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Again, emphasizing once. And it goes on and it says, "Since man died and it's appointed unto man once to die, he once suffered for our sins."
Yeah.
And so, again, we need to confess our sins when we mess up because it defiles our conscience, it defiles our body, but it doesn't defile our spirit. Our spirit retains its right standing with God. And if Christians understood that, they wouldn't be up and down like this. You know, there was a time that there was a guy, I won't go into details, but this guy, he was meeting with the president every week, and he was there at my place, and he was name-dropping and telling me how important he was by his association with everybody else. And he did know a lot of people, but it wasn't blessing me. It didn't. I just thought that this guy is promoting himself. So anyway, I listened, but I nearly fell asleep. I was bored with the whole thing. So after he left, I got up in front of the people, and I didn't mention anybody's name, but I was talking about how we ought to just be pleasing the Lord only, and it doesn't matter what people think. And I said, I just had a guy here who was dropping names, and I said some things about him without mentioning his name, but I said things that were not flattering. It turned out his wife was in the service. She had stayed. And she came up afterwards and just crying because I had trashed her husband in front of about 1,000 people. And I felt so terrible over that. That was totally wrong on my part. And I called this guy and I apologized. And he was really nice about it. And we're still friends. And he'll call me every once in a while and he'll say, "Now, if you're falling asleep, let me know." So he's taking it pretty good. But anyway, Kenneth, I bet you for a week, I just felt like, God, how could I be so carnal to do something like that and use my position? And I felt terrible. And these are the scriptures that really got me back on my feet, is that he paid for it one time, and it was already dealt with, and I gave Satan an inroad into my body and into my mind, but not into my spirit. And I had to purge my conscience from dead works so that I could serve the living God.
I was gleaning something from your broadcast last night and about authority. How much time do I have?
5 minutes.
Perfect. One of the last times I was ever on an airliner. And got on there, and I don't remember where I was going. My airplane was in a shop or something, or whatever it was, and I got on there. And I sat down next to the window seat, and there's another man sat down here, and there's a man in the middle. And he got on there, and he couldn't talk without just blaspheming everything he said. I thought, Lord, I don't want to listen to this. And so we taxied out, and I just leaned over here, and I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind that blaspheming demon in that man, sir. Put him to sleep." And just didn't know louder than that. And so we taxied out there and taxied around, and he said, So I introduced myself to the man next to me, and he said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a preacher." He said, "Well, but that's interesting." He said, "I'm a Presbyterian. I have some things I'd like to ask you if you don't mind." I said, "Sure, go right ahead." So we talked and talked and talked. He said, "I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Copeland." He said, "You've waked up things in me that I haven't had since I was a young boy in the Presbyterian church." And he said, this has really been a wonderful trip. Thank you very much.
Wow,
and
God.
We landed, that guy said, well, I've had the best sleep I've had in a long time. I said, oh, well, it just woke him up.
That's pretty good. I might try that.
Yeah. Awesome. Amen. Glory to God.
But Kenneth, this has just changed my life, and I again want to say thank you. I've said that to you before, but man, God's used you, and I'm just a representative of millions of people that praise God's God, spoken to through you. And so any good thing that the Lord's ever doing in my life, it gets put on your account.
Praise God. I receive it.
Amen.
I'll pass it on.
Amen. And then we can just keep passing the thank yous on, yes, to Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, and so many other people.
And those upon whose great shoulders we stand today.
Yep.
And it'll all come back down to Jesus.
And there's going to be people that we've touched that will continue after we're gone. And
yes,
praise God, it'll be awesome.
And to G.W. McDonald. And come to find out, his name was George Washington McDonald. And he's so many cousins back down, and we can find that's a preacher in our family, and born in Kenny, Texas. And his Bible and his concordance, he wore them out in the saddlebags, and his wife crocheted backs on his Bible and his concordance. You were in Vietnam, his Bible bouncing around in a saddlebag of a horse. And he preached this word all of his life. George Washington McDonald.
That's awesome.
So that's the power of the gospel. Powerful thing.
I tell you, God's provided everything we could ever need. It's just a matter of us renewing our mind to it. We don't have to get him to do something. He's seated at the Father's right hand. It's finished.
And we dip into the wells of salvation.
That's it. We just draw it out. We don't have to put it in there. Praise God.
Praise God forevermore.
Thanks for letting me be on your program, brother.
Letting
it's been a blessing.
The place belongs to you. So anytime, we must do this again.
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah. Don't you think so? Absolutely. Don't you believe so?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Give the Lord a praise.
I'm not going to be depressed and crushed another day in my life, because he did it. He went through it. He bought it. He paid for it. And I now have the peace.
By his stripes ye were healed. That's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infections of the Lord. You can't separate healing from salvation. It's on the cross.
I don't wait for crisis moments to draw on power. Power is for everyday life.
We got to be unafraid and unashamed. They got to see more power on your side than it is on the world's side.
Join us for the Southwest Believers Convention with Kenneth Copeland and our special lineup of guest speakers, July 28th through August 2nd. Register at kcm.org/SWBC today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. I want to share with you what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says about generosity with a cheerful heart. Verses 6 through 9. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Thank you, partners, for your faithfulness and generosity in your sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Because of you and the faithfulness of Jesus, we have been able to send the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Over the past 5 decades, hundreds of millions of people have come to know Jesus as their Savior through Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the ministries that we support. The Word of God has been preached to generations of families, helping them grow in faith and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So let me pray over your offering for you to receive a bountiful harvest today. Father, today we receive your hands open wide towards us to satisfy the desire of every living thing. It's your will to freely give us seed, and we've received freely what you have given us, and before you we sow it freely. And we thank you for our seed. We declare our increase according to the fruit of our righteousness in us, and we speak all sufficiency in all things concerning our affairs forevermore. Amen. Now, if you need prayer, I want to remind you that Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a prayer line you can call. Call the number and speak with one of our prayer ministers. They are licensed and trained in the Word of God, and they're ready to pray the scriptures in faith over you and your situation. You've heard Brother Copeland teach us to keep the Word of God first place and final authority in our lives. So we hold fast to our confession of faith, and we speak the Word only. We have prayer ministers in all of our offices around the world. So contact the office nearest you. You can go to kcm.org.
Welcome to kcm.org, your study center for victory. Click Start Here to unlock answers on where to begin your faith journey. You'll find links to our most popular content and an overview of what kcm.org can do for you. Start there and don't stop exploring. Find a Bible-believing church home with the Find a Church feature. At kcm.org, we want to answer your questions, encourage you daily, and help lead you on the path to victory in your family, finances, emotional, and physical health. With things to watch, read, pray, and speak, kcm.org meets you where you are.
This has been an absolutely great 2 weeks. Andrew, thank you, partner.
Thank you, Kenneth.
I appreciate
You're
it.
You're a blessing,
sir.
Brother.
And I want to say something about this. The Gospel Truth Network. Amen. Well, isn't that the name of his program? The Gospel Truth?
Yes.
Well, now we have a Gospel Truth Network. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And we can just get it anytime we want it.
Yes.
It's there, and we praise you for it. And I want to pray, Father, for Andrew Womack and Jamie.
Jesus.
And all of the things that they're doing is so marvelous and wonderful. And we join them as their partners. And we thank you for them, for heaven has blessed them. And it's good to be in their presence in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
We'll see you next time. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, Andrew Womack, and all of this class reminding you that God loves you. And we
love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Yes!
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.